Welcome to the Key Wealth Matters Weekly Podcast, where we casually ramble on about important topics, including the markets, the economy, human ingenuity, and almost anything under the sun, giving you the keys to open doors in the world of investing. Today is Friday, August 23rd, 2024. I'm Brian Pietrangelo, and welcome to the podcast. As we head into the back half of the summer, or sort of the end of the summer, as people returning to school, as a back-to-school for grade school folks, high school folks, and even those returning to college, it's an interesting time, so good luck to all the students and the parents during this time. In addition, it's been a great summer to join or attend one of your favorite music concerts. I've had the unique capability this year to see a number of great bands, including the Rolling Stones, Doobie Brothers, Steve Winwood, and Hootie and the Blowfish. What a great opportunity. If you haven't had a chance this summer, get out and see your favorite band before the summer ends. In concert with that, we're actually going to dance around a few questions related to our panel today that might be of very interest to our listeners. Number one, will investors be glad regarding recent economic data, or will they just have to roll with it? Second, will market participants get satisfaction with Federal Reserve monetary policy in September, or will Jay Powell just let them know that you can't always get what you want? And finally, with all the economic data out there, in addition to Fed commentary, will everyone just need more time? With that, I'd like to introduce our panel of investing experts here to share their insights on this week's market activity and more. Rajiv Sharma, Head of Fixed Income, and Cindy Honcharenko, Director of Fixed Income Portfolio Management. As a reminder, a lot of great content is available on key.com/wealthinsights, including updates from our Wealth Institute on many different subjects, and especially our Key Questions article series addressing a relevant topic for investors each week. In addition, if you have any questions or need more information, please reach out to your financial advisor. Taking a look at this week's market and economic activity, we've got five key updates for you, three related to the economic release calendar and two related to the Federal Reserve. First, starting with the Conference Board's leading economic indicators released earlier this week, it showed that the month of July was down following the month of June, which was down. And again, this number has been in decline for roughly a couple years, so we look at it as a softening of the economy, but not necessarily pointing to whether or not we will have a recession. Second, weekly initial unemployment claims for the week were stable, so we won't dig into that data point, and instead we'll talk about new non-farm payrolls and the revisions that occurred as released by the Department of Labor and the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which talked about a revisions for the prior year of roughly 818,000. So that number was a little bit disappointing and somewhat of a shock to the system, but we'll talk about that as to whether there are larger implications for the economy or not. And third, existing home sales grew 1.3% in July to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of roughly 3.95 million houses, which again halted a four-month sales decline that began back in March. As we talked about this many times before, higher interest rates have locked up the housing market a little bit with the imbalance between supply and demand relative to where mortgage rates are. And fourth, the Federal Reserve came out with its meeting minutes from the Federal Open Market Committee meeting back on July 31st, and we'll talk to Cindy to glean some insights from those meeting minutes. And lastly, or fifth, just earlier this morning, Jay Powell gave his press conference update at the Jackson Hole Symposium, so we will definitely talk with our committee and our panel about what that means for the overall economy and Fed policy. And as an educational update for our listeners out there, the Jackson Hole Economic Policy Symposium that was today, in terms of Jay's press release, is not, and again, I repeat, not an official Federal Open Market Committee where they adjust policy. It's actually the 47th or so year of the Jackson Hole Economic Symposium since 1978, where the Bank of Kansas City, the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, has invited prominent central bankers, finance ministers, academics, and financial market participants to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, from all around the world, with the mission to talk about and discuss important economic issues facing the U.S. and world economy, as it brings together a ton of great people to talk about what's happening in the world. So with that, let's turn directly to Cindy to get a quick update on the Fed minutes, and then we'll have a discussion on the Jackson Hole speech by Jay Powell. Cindy?
So the July FOMC minutes show widespread support for a September rate cut. The latest economic data enhanced their confidence that inflation is moving toward target. The vast majority observed that if the data continued to come in about as expected, it would likely be appropriate to ease policy at the next meeting. In terms of risk to the outlook, the committee noted upside risk to inflation had diminished, while downside risk to employment had increased, with a couple participants assessing its objectives to be more or less balanced. Several participants remarked on the risks of moving too soon, but many noted the risks of moving too late. As expected, the minutes confirmed that the committee's awareness of the possibility of inflated payrolls go as far back as June, and the broad contours of Wednesday's preliminary benchmark revision estimate to non-farm payrolls were known as far back as the June meeting. So, given the shifting balance of risk, this further emphasizes that the August jobs report will likely be key in determining a 25 basis point rate cut versus a 50 basis point rate cut, but the base case still seems to be 25 basis points.
Cindy, great update. And as we often talk about on the podcast and in real life, the data is so fast moving. That data is already out of date from the FOMC minutes from 7:31, because the big news for the week is that we've got Jay Powell's comments from the Jackson Hole Symposium just about an hour ago. So let's dig into that. What'd you take away from his comments? I think it was about 16 minutes in terms of the speech. But again, what do you think the investors and our audience members want to know most?
Well, Brian, he officially gave the green light to change the direction of monetary policy, but he did stop short of announcing the timing and pace of interest rate cuts, reiterating the Fed will be data dependent. He did say, I think the quote is, "The time has come for policy to adjust. The direction of travel is clear, and the timing and pace of rate cuts will depend upon the incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks." He did offer reasons for altering monetary policy. Inflation has eased, the job market's no longer overheated, and the global supply chain has normalized. The unemployment rate rose to 4.3% in July, and Powell attributed the sudden jump in joblessness to more individuals entering or returning to the workforce and a slower pace of hiring. He said the objective has been to restore price stability while maintaining a strong labor market, avoiding the sharp increases on unemployment that characterized early disinflationary episodes when inflation expectations were less well anchored. While the task is not complete, we have made a good deal of progress toward that outcome. And he said, with the soft labor market, it's now less likely that the labor market will provide upside pressures on inflation. He summed up his lessons in dealing with the dramatic events of the pandemic that led to high inflation in 2021 and 2022. And he also said that much more remains to be learned from the pandemic economy at a time that has proved to be unlike any other. The committee will be open to make adjustments. Rajiv, what's your takeaway from Jackson Hole?
Well, I agree with you, Cindy. I think that, Fed Chair Powell said the time has come for Fed to cut rates. And he basically affirmed that officials will be lowering borrowing costs next month. I will note that he gave a nod to the further cooling of the labor market. That being said, it seems to me that his comments were very down the middle, very balanced, very nuanced, looking for more like a 25 basis point rate cut for September, not a 50 basis point rate cut. There was no indication that I got from his comments that they're looking to really, go full throttle and go 50 basis points. Fed Chair Powell basically reiterated that the pace of rate cuts is going to depend on incoming data. So if we think about the data, the most important data right now is going to be the labor market reports. Fed Chair Powell said that he is encouraged by the disinflationary trends. So it kind of, to me, feels that inflation is kind of, on the side right now for the Fed, as that has been the biggest focus for the Fed for so long that, they had to see inflation come down to a 2% before doing any rate cuts. Now, I think it's really about the jobs report. The jobs data is going to be front and center for the Fed. Any cooling in the labor market, we do get another labor report before the September meeting. If that's a very lackluster jobs report, then again, that notion from the market expectations of 50 basis points could come back on the table. But right now, the market's pretty much, anticipating 25 basis points unless we really see an awful jobs report. But after the speech that we heard today from Fed Chair Powell, we did see Treasury yields fall. We saw the S&P 500 rise. Swap traders are holding steady with their pricing of total rate cuts for 2024 being at 100 basis points. So again, the market is anticipating that we will have, before the end of the year, 100 basis points of rate cuts. That would be four rate cuts of 25 basis points each. How does that happen? Maybe we get 25 basis points in September, and maybe we get 50 at the end of the year. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. But the odds for a 25 basis point rate cut in September have completely firmed now. So now all eyes are set on that first rate cut of an easing monetary policy to begin next month. It's been 14 months since the Fed has been on pause, and that's a very long time for the market to wait for monetary policy. And I think that's really been a big impact right now for where we see the yield curve and how we see it positioning and how people are anticipating adding duration to their portfolios.
So Cindy mentioned it, and Rajiv, you talked about it. This dual mandate of maximum employment and price stability, otherwise known as managing inflation, has now shifted where we think that the inflation conundrum has sort of been solved. And now we need to focus, we meaning Jay Powell and the Federal Open Market Committee, on more of the employment front. How do you think this Department of Labor and Bureau of Labor Statistics revisions to the new non-farm payrolls of 818,000 to the negative might affect the outlook?
Well, my thoughts there, Brian, are that it adds to the market stringing along data to give a very strong argument for the Fed to cut rates. It seems that the labor market had been cooling already, but now it seems like it has been cooling for longer. And I think that that's going to be a big factor. Any kind of surprise that we get in September where we don't anticipate it, but you would have to look at this data and look at that revision and really anticipate that the Fed is looking at that too and say that, the labor market is coming under a little bit of a cooling environment and we should be doing a rate cut. So I do think that if that revision didn't happen, we already anticipated 25 basis points. This only adds gravity to us really having a 25 basis point rate cut in September.
And Cindy, one for you, just in case we're all watching the same economic calendar. There's actually eight huge data points between now and the Federal Reserve meeting on the two-day meeting between September 17th and September 18th. And I'm going to read them just from our listeners' perspective so they know what's going on. We've got GDP on August 29th, PCE inflation on August 30th, the Beige Book on September 4th, the JOLTS report on September 4th, the employment report with new non-farm payrolls and unemployment rate on September 6th, CPI inflation on September 11th, and then retail sales and industrial production on the 17th. So a tremendous amount of data. So maybe talk a little bit about the data dependency comment that you made earlier, which I think is very relevant in terms of Jay Powell and the committee taking into consideration at least those eight factors, if not more, between now and then.
Thanks, Brian. I think that the Fed officials are going to continue to take far more signals from the data that you just mentioned that's going to be coming in, the surveys, the assessment of risk, and I don't think they're going to be backward looking on the revisions. The revision that we saw on Wednesday is more likely undercounting workers given high immigration flows. So And Jay Powell has noted in his press conference, I believe it was June's, that they look at the labor market data that comes out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but they already knew that it was inflated. So I think they're going to be, again, looking more at the actual data as it's released versus dwelling on backward revisions.
Great. Thanks, Cindy. Rajiv, back to you. We watched this data very closely, and I personally looked at, I think, a 3 or 4 or 5 decades worth of information regarding Fed policy. You mentioned that the probabilities of a 25 basis point rate cut in September are roughly 100%, but not necessarily going to 50. When I looked at that back a couple years ago, across 4 or 5 decades of Fed policy, I think that there's almost a 100% history that if the Fed starts either tightening or loosening policy, they almost always start with 25 basis point increment. What are your thoughts on that to validate where we think we're headed?
I mean, that's very interesting data, Brian. And I really do feel that the Fed doesn't want to, you know, cause any panic in the market and say 50 basis points. That means things are really, you know, they're trying to play catch up. I do think that 25 basis points on most rate hiking and rate curbing cycles have always been around 25 basis points. And I think that's a nice tempered measure for the Fed. If you look at when we had the August spike in volatility, many investors thought that the Fed is going to come out there with emergency meetings and really start cutting rates, even 50 basis points. And when we started the year, many were talking about 6 to 7 rate cuts this year, which did not happen. We didn't subscribe to that either. But I think the Fed wants to be very tempered here. They don't want to cause panic in the market. 25 basis points is the right level for the Fed to begin a monetary easing policy. We've seen it in the past. The only real question I have, and I think the market has as well, is the Fed too late to the game? We have seen the Fed being very late to the game when it came to inflation. The whole transitory inflation argument did not really work. And then the Fed had to play catch up when they were raising rates. And you saw rates rising 75 basis points at a clip, which you don't normally see in a monetary tightening or easing policy. So a lot of investors are thinking, is the Fed again too late to start cutting rates? Will they have to play catch up like they did when they were raising rates? I don't think so right now. I do think that if they miss the September opportunity, then yes, they will have to play catch up. There were a lot of Fed members that voiced their opinion that there should have been a July rate cut in the Fed minutes that Cindy referenced. But I really think that, you know, 25 basis points for a rate easing policy makes a lot of sense to begin with. They could increase the magnitude of it later. But to your point, Brian, I do think that every hiking and easing cycle that we've seen has started with 25 basis points.
Great comments, Rajiv. And then one last question for you, then we'll close the podcast for today. You know, a lot of talk is always dominated around the federal funds part of the monetary policy equation with raising and lowering interest rates. But I go back to when we were watching in November of 2021 and into March of 2022, where I distinctly recall Jay Powell making a very crisp and transparent comment that they would discontinue the buying of the federal funds balance sheet, the Fed's balance sheet. They would discontinue buying bonds as the part of that policy known as quantitative easing before they started raising rates in March of 2022, so that there was not conflicting messages into the marketplace that one policy was easing and one policy was restrictive. Here we are on the back end of this policy now. We're on the precipice of lowering interest rates, but we still have the Fed's balance sheet where we're trying to get rid of a roll-off bonds or sell bonds known as quantitative tightening. How do you think that's not getting a lot of press these days, and where do you think we are?
It's a very, very good question, Brian, because when the Fed started reducing their balance sheet, or as you mentioned, quantitative tightening, the market initially anticipated that as 25 basis points of a rate hike, which is counterbalancing any talks about rate cuts. That news has really kind of taken a back seat, and we haven't seen a lot of talk about quantitative tightening. We haven't seen a lot of talk about reducing the balance sheet. The Fed is reducing their balance sheet. They have been pretty aggressive, I would say, in the beginning of the year, trying to reduce the balance sheet. If you look at the Fed minutes that we just saw this week, there was very little guidance on any changes to the continued wind down of the central bank's balance sheet. I think we continue to see a Fed that's trying to get their balance sheet in a position where it's going to be very dependent on the asset allocations in their portfolio. And I think that we continue to see this treasury auctions that we've been seeing. We continue to see a wind down of the balance sheet. But the magnitude of this quantitative tightening has now taken a complete backseat to talks about monetary easing. And I think it's very interesting, actually, because when they started talking about reducing their balance sheet, it was almost like we can reduce rates at the same time we can reduce our balance sheet, which would eventually, if you look at how the magnitude of that, that would have been a 25 basis point rate hike on the magnitude of quantitative tightening. Nobody's talking about that anymore. I think the Fed is on autopilot when it comes to reducing their balance sheet, and they will continue to do that. We'll continue to see treasuries come to market off their balance sheet. And, you know, the impact of that is you may think that right now yields are low and yields have fallen over the past month. But with these auctions and this continued supply that they're providing to the market with treasuries, it's provided pressure on the upside. And that's why we haven't seen yields really start to move lower, even lower than we've seen right now. So I think that's going to be a very important thing to see, the pace at which they continue this balance sheet wind down. And they're being very temperate about it too. They're reducing their balance sheet based on market conditions. So if things start to look unattractive, they'll slow the pace down. So you can't really count on the Fed's policy as far as the pace of this wind down goes, but we'll keep an eye on that.
And thanks for the comments today, everyone. And before we close today's podcast, we want to remind folks that we are having a national client call on Wednesday, September 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern, where George Mateo will be joined by a very special guest, Libby Cantrell from PIMCO, to talk about the upcoming presidential election. So you won't want to miss this call, as it should be very, very interesting. Also, if you've not yet received an invite, please reach out to your KeyBank contact. Well, thanks again for the conversation today, Rajiv and Cindy. We appreciate your insights, and thanks to our listeners for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to the Key Wealth Matters podcast through your favorite podcast app. As always, past performance is no guarantee of future results, and we know your financial situation is personal to you. So reach out to your relationship manager, portfolio strategist, or financial advisor for more information, and we'll catch up with you next week to see how the world and the markets have changed, and provide those keys to help you navigate your financial journey.
Key Wealth, Key Private Bank, Key Family Wealth, Key Bank Institutional Advisors, and Key Private Client are marketing names for Key Bank National Association, or Key Bank, and certain affiliates such as Key Investment Services LLC, or KISS, and Key Corp Insurance Agency USA Inc., or KIA. The Key Wealth Institute is comprised of financial professionals representing Key Bank and certain affiliates, such as KISS and KIA. Any opinions, projections, or recommendations contained herein are subject to change without notice, are those of the individual authors, and may not necessarily represent the views of Key Bank or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. This material presented is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be an offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase or sell any security or product or to employ a specific investment strategy. KeyBank, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates, represent, warrant, or guarantee that this material is accurate, complete, or suitable for any purpose or any investor, and it should not be used as a basis for investment decisions. It is not to be relied upon or used in substitution for the exercise of independent judgment. It should not be construed as individual tax, legal, or financial advice. The summaries, prices, quotes, and/or statistics contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not necessarily complete and cannot be guaranteed. They are provided for informational purposes only and are not intended to replace any confirmations or statements. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Investment products, brokerage, and investment advisory services are offered through KISS, member FINRA SIPC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products are offered through KIA. Insurance products offered through KIA are underwritten by, and the obligation of, insurance companies that are not affiliated with KeyBank. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal amount invested. There is no guarantee that investment objectives will be achieved. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Asset allocation and diversification do not guarantee returns or protect against losses. Investment and insurance products and services are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, may lose value, not a deposit, and not insured by any federal or state government agency. This content is copyrighted by KeyCorp 2024.